What's up, everybody, and all you nerds and turds, welcome to Indies Nuts Podcast, the internet's number one indie gaming news, previews, and reviews podcast hosted by people you've never heard of. We're number one on the whole internet. Can you believe it? None of that's true.
We did it. We're number one now.
None of that's true. And actually, in our news section, we have a bunch to talk about in that regard. In our lonely two or three news stories. Okay, good that somebody added one. Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Matt, how are you? Clickety clackety boy.
Man. I know. I'm shooting out all the links. I'm doing good, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Check to see what mic you're using, because for some reason I'm getting a lot of you. When you just moved, I got like a big scratching sound.
How about now?
I don't know. It's fine. Just don't move too much. Just don't breathe.
Hey, just don't
ever. Okay. You guys have been playing a lot of games. I only been playing one this week. So I'm very interested to see what you guys like. I've seen this doc and it is something else. Andy, how are you?
I'm good. I love how we spoke earlier today, or was it yesterday? You mentioned something and you were like, hey, your room lights are way too bright and it's like washing out your face.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, fuck you, asshole. And then today my light blew out.
Yes. And I
the
was
the universe finds a way.
And I
Andy.
Was here trying to give you credit for listening to my sage advice.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong.
I was gonna add more lights to the room and defy your
you're gonna be like the Great White
gonna,
Hope.
Just gonna put
like Seamus yourself.
Just put a reflector on you.
Yeah. Just like turn my phone light on. I'm like, all right, good. Is that right?
That looks great. That looks focused as hell. Yeah, that looks really good. We got so much to talk about. So why don't we dive right in? First, Andy, is there anything new on dual screens?
You know what? Okay, so it's not new. It is kind of ish. So I've been working on our revamped guest host page for like mm-hmm. a bajillion years.
Yeah.
And I want to put it in the chat so folks can see what it looks like.
It's cool. It's so cool.
This is going to be linked on the main page like tomorrow morning. I'm like, no joke, like 30 episodes away from it being completely up to date with all of our stuff. But it looks really great. And I'm excited to get it all finally done. And I can just add things once a week like a human being.
Look at how good sure. that it's so organized.
Yeah, I've like handpicked every single image.
Yeah, and that's psychotic.
I get the PTSD because I get the flash. I get the flashback of when I struggled to make a thumbnail for the YouTube show of an episode. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. You don't have like transparent logos or like anything that's above like 200p.
yeah. I don't have anything without a watermark for this game that's 6
exactly.
years old.
A warder.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Totally an issue. But yes, I'm very excited to see this page fully launched, fully functional, so that we could show people and be like, hey, look what we've done. All of these shows. The big thing for me is I want it to be searchable. I want you to be able to look for. I want us to come up an SOE for these interviews. By the guest name and the game and it go to our website. That's the dream. But I digress. It is time now to get into the indie game adventures because all y'all crazy people have been playing so many games. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, I've just been playing Power Chord. It's still great. I love it. But missed enough.
Yes.
You put so many games on here.
I do. I also have been playing Power Chord, and yes. I do also enjoy that. I love the shit out of it.
You can listen to Steve's thoughts on patreon.com/dualscreens, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice, Nestler, and FNH Paul. But for as little as $1, you get Steve's thoughts, a 5 times a week mini micro podcast. And Nuff, you actually asked me to fantasy cast.
I did. The Power Chord
movie. Power Chord movie. And I cast the band, mm-hmm. I kept it generic, and the narrator.
Okay.
Who is my narrator? Can you guess who my narrator was?
Who was your narrator?
You're going to have to find that on patreon.com.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who it is. Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. So you guys can go ahead and do that.
Dean Ambrose.
No. No, there but there might be a wrestler in my cast.
Whoopi Goldberg. Right.
There might be. Let's talk about Haiku the Robot.
Sure. Oh, yeah. So last week, I've been finishing a bunch of games. I've beaten more games in January than I think I have in the past like fucking 2 years of my life. But last week I brought Chasm, which was a fun Metroidvania, but it felt like it didn't really have a soul. Haiku the Robot is the exact opposite of that. It is a very handcrafted experience. It doesn't have procedural generation or anything like that. You play as this little tiny robot named Haiku. You're a little tiny, cute little ball. And you wake up in the middle of what seems to be a completely just apocalyptic Earth.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah, that's not a word. It's okay.
No, I like it. I think we should make it a word.
Yeah, apocalyptic. What's that? Merriam-Webster, let's go. So you wake up. Robots have kind of taken over everything. And a virus has started to take over these robots that inhabit the Earth. And you're kind of seeking out what happened, where did the virus come from, and hopefully trying to eradicate it. And it's a really rad, I don't want to ruin the story because of how cool it gets, but some of my favorite things about it are actually the sound. So it's a great Metroidvania. It has kind of all the standard fare. You get your double jump, you get like a hookshot kind of deal, you get like the morph ball kind of deal. But what really stuck out to me the most is the sound design in the different areas really blew my mind. Like, there's a water area, there's an electricity area, there's a fire area. In the electricity area, there are all these electric, you know, like, this just constant electric hum, like, and you hear it all the time, and it's just, like, faintly in the background. And then, like, when you're in the water area, things are, like, a little echoey and a little splooshy, and there's like water droplets all the time.
I believe the
and
word you're looking for is wet.
It's wet.
Mm-hmm. Moist.
It's moist.
A moist but experience.
The for a game of this size that didn't seem to get a whole lot of attention, the music and the sound design is so fantastic. On top of that, the gameplay is great. You know, it's just like a standard fare, kind of hack and slash. Metroidvania. You don't get a whole lot of different kinds of attacks throughout the game. It's more about kind of learning the enemy patterns and all that kind of stuff. But I had a really, really great time finishing this up. There's some post-game stuff that I could go do if I wanted to. I haven't decided if I'm going to return to it yet. But yeah, really beautiful game. Just kind of about reclaiming the reclamation of Earth and this tiny little cute robot. The character design, too, is really rad. There's some really great characters in there. Like, his name is Haiku the Robot, but coincidentally, you go into, like, this jungle area, you unlock a door, and when you get in the door, there is just, like, a paper on the ground. And so, like, you keep walking into this long hallway, and at the end of a hallway is this, like, giant gear with a head, and he has, like, a quill and the end of the paper roll, and you can pay him currency to read you haikus, and it's fucking great. Like, then there's stuff like that all over the place.
That's cute.
It's just a really, really genuine, fun, lot of heart kind of game.
I'm a little upset that you did not write a haiku to present this game to us.
Damn, I should have done that.
And I'm just listen, just so you know, Matthew, Metroidvania is five syllables. That's your starting off point right there.
Metroidvania.
Whoa.
It's like right
what a
there.
Great time I had, man.
Haiku the Robot.
Haiku the Robot.
I'm just gonna say it. I think haikus are kind of bullshit.
What the fuck do you mean,
I'm just saying. I just think haikus,
it's like one of the classic,
it's just
poem formats.
No, I get it. I know what it is. I just think it's kind of bullshit.
It's more like an exercise than a poem, really. Right.
It's like a mental exercise. Yeah. It's like, how can I get my thought in this specific pattern?
Right.
And cool, man. But like, once you do it, Like, let's move on. We don't need books. Like,
well, I'll tell you what. You should avoid this hallway if you ever play Haiku the Robot, because this fucking gear's got millions. Yes. He's got so many haikus.
Steve's like all about that fucking iambic pentameter. He's like, fuck that grade school haiku crap.
It's got give me your iambic pentameter. Give me a sonnet right now.
Speaking of things that are simple, I could count to six, and so do dice. So let's talk about Die in the Dungeon.
Sure, this is another me game. So this is just it says it's a prologue. It's like the beginning of what will eventually be the full game. And this is a roguelike dice bag builder, which is pretty interesting. So it's a turn-based battle game. As you go through the dungeon, you'll collect dice to put in your dice bag. All the dice do different things based on their color and the kind of the strength of what they do is based on the side of their die. So you're not rolling them. You're slotting them into these different places.
Kind of like dominoes.
A little bit, yeah. And you're slotting them into these different places on this like attack board. There are like buffs and heals and duplication and attacks. And then they can all also have different like affectations. So like it'll be like a heavy dice will stay through to the next turn after you place it in the grid. Mm. Or like a trickster dice might it has like some random generation to the number. Like it might RNG you and like either kick you up or kick you down a number. But yeah, it's just like a very simple, cool art style. Dice builder. I had a really good time with the prologue, and I'm looking forward to the full release.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like games that try and do combat and exploration differently using systems that were like taking systems or game mechanics that we're used to and kind of flipping it on its head, like using dice like kind of like dominoes as opposed to a randomly rolled.
Right.
And like dealing it with it that way. I think that's what in the beginning when I started playing D&D, like that was the first time I realized that dice can be used for more than just like Monopoly. Like I never seen like a 20-sided die or anything.
A whole
like that.
Mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Die in the Dungeon's pretty rad. It just has it's just that game that has like that a weird amount of heart, and it's so unique in how it plays that it makes it interesting enough to want to follow. So check out their Steam page and play the prologue.
In 2014, I was in a movie called The Jersey Devil. And I played...
The PS1 game.
I played Judas Iscariot.
Holy shit.
Who was Lucifer's right-hand man. I was his consigliere, as it were. I was his number two. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the whole premise of it was Lucifer's term... As the devil, as the crown prince of evil, is mm-hmm. up, and there's a new devil has to be elected, and the demon that was elected is a former real estate mogul, who wound up conniving and getting his way, and he decides to relocate hell to Jersey City, New Jersey. And that reminds me of our next game, Helltown.
What's up with the Pope rules?
I don't know, man.
The devil allow for, like, you know, voting in any way.
Let's talk about Helltown.
Unsatan-like. Anyway, so Helltown is a cute little game that I stumbled across.
Oh, yeah, it looks adorable.
It does, yeah.
On Steam.
Yep. Very adorable.
Over the weekend. Demon. It's got a... You know, my favorite PS1 crunchy graphics. It's set in a, you know, all-American 1950s, like, Leave It to Beaver, Stepford Wives kind of vibe to it. Everything's very clean and neat, and everyone's on the up and up. And you play as a postman that's delivering packages to these, you know, quaint little white picket fence houses. And as you're delivering shit, you hear screams.
Uh-huh, as you do.
From inside the houses. Uh-huh. And a lot of crazy shit happens, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a total indie game through and through. and I'm just shocked that it's taken me 6 years to hear about this game, because it's a very...
It, It's just like a narrative puzzle adventure kind of deal. Is there combat? No,
there's enemies. There's enemies that essentially they just gun for your face while you're playing. Sick.
It seems like the kind. It's like a cat and mouse game,
right?
Like you're just trying to avoid being eaten by or destroyed or whatever. It actually reminds me of Happy Humble's Burger
Farm.
Is that the full name? Jesus Christ.
Well, there's farm and barn.
Farm barn. But that's what it reminds me of. It's like you're kind of in this world and everything's sort of happening around you. That game's really good, though. Happy is Humble. Former guest of the show, by the way.
But yeah, it's like I think like $7 on Steam. Really cheap.
Speaking of classic games, this is a couple years old, but if you guys missed it, I've heard nothing but good things about this one. We're going to talk about Superliminal right now.
All right, so the Steam Deck has been just like putting me on to games that I should have played forever ago.
Sure.
And stuff that's been on my radar forever.
Everything.
I beat this in one sitting. This is one of the most fun puzzle games I have ever played in my life. I think it might top Portal for me. And Portal is great. I love the physics and everything. It's very much that kind of a game. Where you're just kind of trying to get out of the room or out of the, you know, the experiment that you're in. The puzzles are so well designed. And, like, they really start itching your brain towards the end where, you know, you're looking for... So, like, at first it's all just, like, perspective and, you know, very kind of rudimentary ideas. But by the end there's just, like, these... more mind-bendy, you know, conceptual, like, stuff like you walk into a room and the walls are white and there's only one other exit door, but when you walk through that exit door, you just come into the room again and there's nothing else in the room. You're like, what the fuck? Like, what am I even supposed to do? But it turns out that you can just walk through the white walls. Like, the white walls don't exist. They're not there. They're not real. But there's windows on the walls to make you think that they're there. There's just, like, very weird shit like that. And then, in general, the story is actually really, really cool. It's like a kind of a meditation on, like, self-doubt, really trying to change your perspective on things, and, like, overcoming failure. And... they really hammer that home with these little boom boxes that are kind of scattered all over these levels. And you'll listen to the original creator kind of walk you through what's going on. And eventually, you know, he starts telling you about it goes less from like, this room is the, you know, like the Cave Johnson, like this room is where the most people dream and die. And it turns into like, well, me, myself, I've been dreaming for fucking ever and ever and ever. And yeah, I'm so glad I sat down and played this game. I'm really glad I got through it in one sitting. It was very fun. And some of the most unique puzzles I've ever encountered in any game. And even though it's a little older, it still holds up very well. And I guarantee you could find it on sale like once a month at least. Definitely check it out.
So, you know, Matt, that you mentioned Portal, you should check out, they released a little asset showcase for a game called F-Stop.
I saw that link in the Discord, but I haven't clicked into it yet.
Check it out.
Very excited.
Check that out.
Awesome. So this next game I actually saw come across my inbox and I really wanted to play it. But I'm glad one of us did.
This game, I want to play
Rhythm Sprout looks dope. Let's talk about Rhythm Sprout.
Rhythm Sprout is a game.
Sure is.
Where you play as an onion knight in a literal onion knight in a tracksuit. And at the behest of a king that is a broccoli, you have to go and kill all the evil in the land via fat beats and rhythm based combat.
Mm-hmm. Via fat beats.
This reminds me of like a Katamari like world.
So it's like Guitar Hero Lite. It's only three buttons. I think it's one shoulder button, a face button, a directional button
that
that you're pressing. You get red, purple, pink, yellow, and blue. And this thing has, I want to say, the most mesmerizing soundtrack I've heard in a long time. The songs are so good that it makes you hate yourself when you miss a beat. So, yeah. And there's cupcakes that shoot laser beams at you out of their eyeballs. And gingerbread men that are out for blood. And it's so cute.
I really, really, really want to play this game.
It's got, right up again, head. It's a lot of puns. Because how it's inescapable. You're playing as a fucking onion knight. And there's a broccoli king. And there's a trio of like mushroom goons. Like gangsters. It's just so funny. It's so well put together. And it's out now on Steam.
Go play it.
And it's got, it's 10% off for its launch.
Yeah, seriously. This is such a cute game. And it's a great Steam Deck game too.
I found a really simple game that was $5 that I put in our Steal of the Week because it was actually kind of fun. But I didn't play enough of it to really want to speak about it. So I'm going to skip it this week and I'll come back to it if I still feel like it's a steal because it's permanently $5. Okay. So we'll go back to that.
I have a steal of the week.
Oh, you do?
Oh, go for it.
I do.
Okay.
So I want to shameless plug the Dual Screens podcast.
Yeah.
For Monday.
Let's go.
Woo.
So on Monday I'm mad about
this one too.
On Monday in the future.
Because you weren't on it.
Future.
Because I was like, hey, we should get this guy on the show. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And then I'm not on the show. So future. There you go.
Dissension in the ranks.
He just said, get the guy on the show. The guy's on the show. Uh-huh. It happened. I obeyed Steven's will.
I will say, like, just as an aside and maybe an analog to this, like, let's say me and you are hanging out, Andy. And I'm like, man, we should get some pizza, right?
And I'm just eating pizza without you?
No. And then, like, I go out, like, just, and I come back, and there's just an empty pizza box.
No, you see, now you
That's
said.
That's what this is like.
You said we should get some pizza.
Uh-huh. And I said, we should get him on the show. Our show. The show we created together.
You've eaten all this man's pizza, Andy.
Not only that, but you eat it crust first like a heathen.
Oh, I do. Totally. Oh. So anyway.
Yeah, what's the game?
Sorry.
I lost my train of thought. So the game that we covered on next week's show is Eldarind, which is an amazing mm-hmm.
Yeah, we spoke about it. Yeah.
Side scrolly Metroidvania kind of game. But during our conversation, we mentioned a game we mentioned last week's Indies Nuts, that like dinosaur, Stardew Valley game.
Yeah.
So we were mentioning it, and then he's like, "Oh, have you tried this game called Parkasaurus?"
Parkasaurus.
And I was like, "What's that?" And he is like, "Oh, one of my friends made this game. It's." You're in a zoo, but you're raising dinosaurs, and it's out right now. It's been out for 2 years. It's like 80% off or 60% off. It's Dinosaur Tycoon.
Parkasaurus.
I love that game.
It is $24.99. So calling this a steal.
No, it's $9.99.
It says $24.99 on my screen right now.
Mine says, it holy shit. Oh, you guys, I didn't refresh the page. That's an old sale.
It's an old sale. It was
$10
oh my God.
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Oh, missed the park.
Man. You,
yeah. But either way.
Missed the Parkasaurus.
This looks fun. I like this. Oh, look at that. Really fun. Draggy Drags. I'm buying this. This looks good. Oh, man.
There's actually another, like, zoo dinosaur tycoon builder that like just came out that looks pretty good. I think it was in the latest Humble Bundle. Maybe we'll check it out. Yeah, that's not the steal of the week, Andy.
No, but the DLC is only
Moonlighter. Moonlighter is on sale for $8 right now.
Buy Moonlighter. Steal of the week. Absolutely.
Nailed it.
One of my favorite games ever. All right, now we're going to talk about a brand new lead named segment. But before we do that, Yes, we're getting into the wish list roundup. These are all games to throw on your wish list right now. They either not out or they're in early access or whatever, but that's kind of where these games are going to live. And this is brought to you by our store, the Dual Screens Shop. Please support us. We have really fun t-shirts on there. You can get plenty of shirts that show that you support indie gaming. The I Love Indies. There's a ton of great shirts in there. Go to dualscreens.com/store. /shop, maybe? It might be shop. I forget which one I told what's his name to do.
It's that one.
Yeah, it's shop. Okay, dualscreens.com/shop so you can get some fancy t-shirts and rep Dual Screens, and it helps us. It helps us out a lot. So thank you for doing that. Okay. So let's talk about some wish listing games. These are some games that piqued my interest, and I want to start with Hellcard first. This game is going to be in early access. It's going to be one of those early access type games. It's a deck builder with single player and co-op multiplayer, which is what really intrigued me, because you rarely get games like this that are multiplayer. But this looks like it's a strategy turn-based sort of RPG dungeon diver deck builder, and boy does it look good. It looks
holy
juicy.
Shit, this looks amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's coming out in exactly 2 weeks, so 2 weeks from today. Hopefully a future guest of the show. I would love that. Thing Trunk is the developer. It's published by Skystone Games. The link is in our chat. The link will also be in the show notes if you want to check this one out. Again, this one's called Hellcard. I just thought that looked really dope. Actually, they're showing some of the card mechanics now on the screen. If you're watching on youtube.com/dualscreens.tv or watching us live.
This looks so cool. It's like mild tactics deck builder.
It's like a spherical grid
you
for combat.
Arc the Lad.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah.
Like such a great game.
Not exactly like this, obviously, but like.
No, but.
You nailed
it.
I feel some of that.
Nailed it.
Feeling some of that.
Arc the Lad. Another game that sort of came across my radar, and I thought of Andy with this one. This one is called Redemption Reapers. This is coming out in February. That's if it doesn't get
It just says it's out this month. No
yeah,
days.
Yeah, no date.
Leery about that.
But I thought this looked really cool. Dark fantasy simulation game, medieval world, third person action combat. Just looks like something that Andy would love to sink his teeth in, and well, Matt too, and well, me too, obviously.
Yeah, well, all of us. Yeah.
But typically with the wish list stuff, I'm trying to put stuff on here that I think we would all want on our wish list, not just like one or two of us.
So into this game right now.
But this game looks dope. It looks like a really cool. It's got really cool combat. They're calling it a simulation. I don't know why in the tags.
It looks tactics based.
Yeah, it looks. Yeah. It looks like tactical. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that could be why. Yeah. So
I like that they're putting the names of the actors under the people's
names. Yeah, that's cool. That's
really rad.
Yeah. Redemption Reapers. That's coming out this month, hopefully.
Undefinitively coming out this month.
Yeah. We'll see about that.
There's a lot of characters.
Skip that one real quick.
A lot of actors.
Yeah.
Many actors are in this.
Many
it's a lot of cater waiters. They got some work.
This next one I did not put on here, so I'm going to kick it to whoever did. This one's Neko Necro.
Yeah, so I've been following the development of this game on Twitter for some time. The dev is pretty wacky, but this just spoke to me. It is like a hardcore, just straight platformer.
Meat Boy-esque.
Yeah, Meat Boy-esque. All the art is hand-drawn. Sure. Which I thought was super cool. And I am going to buy the fuck out of this. I actually think this is out. I don't think this is.
This is October. So
yeah, it's been out. But this is something to throw on your wish list. Maybe if you're waiting for a sale.
Yeah, it's $15.
And you love just what looks like brutal platforming.
Heck yeah. Next on the list is Dross or Dross.
I also threw this on there. This
is coming
super
soon.
Yeah, this looks super interesting. So you play as a knight who has like what looks like kind of like a symbiote attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you are able to kind of separate the symbiote from you to do things that maybe the knight can't.
That's so cool. It's
like a old school 3D platformer kind of deal. Looks super cute, and I thought it would be worth at least a wish list.
Sure,
because it's got some of them graphics.
It
does have graphics, yes.
I just think that it's a cool gameplay mechanic, like the Banjo-Kazooie or the Ratchet and Clank type duality of the characters.
I like the isometric nature of it too. That it's not like a fully 3D world. It seems like it would be kind of like a 2.5D sort of, I don't know if that makes sense.
So I don't know if this caught my eye while I was just kind of scanning through Steam, and it looks super cool. What might be another good guest for the show. It looks like a fun little game.
Oh, hell yeah.
Heck yeah. This is another one that popped up on my radar and I was like, this looks pretty cool.
Is it the Ninja or
it's
Die
Ninja
one?
Or Die.
Yeah, I watched this trailer earlier. It is wacky.
this is like Ninja Gaiden on steroids.
It seems like you can't move unless you're jumping.
Oh,
is that what it is?
Or dashing or jump, like in some.
There's no like normal.
Yeah,
like, you're not
this
running
is like
anywhere.
Hippity hop, cartwheels. This is an Andy as fuck game.
This is interesting. So it's like weird Mark of the Ninja, like with the directional thing of
it's,
how you
it's
aim,
like it's like it's brutal Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a roguelike. So you got that going for you.
Oh, shit.
Precision platformer.
Oh, shit.
Also coming. Coming soon. No release date on this one. But Ninja or Die. Great video game name, by the way.
I'm gonna play this.
Yeah.
The next game has a demo out right now that I wanted to play before the show, but I couldn't. It's called Pixel Shire. This game.
Oh, I just shared
adorable.
This with a couple of my friends. This looks dope.
Yeah, totally. I have to scroll a little bit. There we go. Okay, so Pixel Shire. You're building farms. It's a farm game. You're building things. It's a town. This is Stardew. Got Stardew written all over it. But anytime one of these games comes up on my radar, I'm instantly intrigued because you never know which one of them is going to hit it out of the park. This one looks very similar to in quality in as like Stardew, but it looks like there's some procedural generation involved here. A little bit more so than just your tavern or your caverns and stuff. Looks like it's a little bit more new, but like this looks straight up ripped out of Stardew. Like when you're fighting in the cave, like it looks like Stardew.
Yeah, I mean,
completely.
I think if you probably like that shot right there before the logo comes in, if like you told somebody that that was a Stardew sequel, they would believe you
100%. So I don't know if those are your game. This is coming out this year, supposedly. If this is a game that you're, you know, these types of games you're interested in, obviously you throw it on your radar. It can't hurt. You don't know what it'll be priced at. It could be priced competitively. It could be your next Stardew. So who knows? And this last one I thought was freaking adorable. It's called Drag and Drop. This came out in June last year. It's an early access. Its early access came out in June. It is $5. It is a multiplayer battler, sort of, where you play dragons and you shoot fire and it wipes any squares in front of you all the way to the end of this little tile board. And you're all trying to just stay alive and not fall. It's basically like one round of like a very specific game in Fall Guys, but It reminds me of like a Mario Party minigame. Just absolute chaos.
Like
but,
the one that makes all your friends leave your house.
Yes, exactly. But it looks like it's so much fun. It's made by a really small team, if not just one person. I was looking at their Twitter and everything. That's where I found it. It just looks super adorable. I love their description too. Drop the dragons and don't get dropped in this frantic party game for up to four players. In Drag and Drop, you'll compete on a checkerboard arena where you can use fire breath to wipe away lines of cubes and drop your opponents. But watch your step, or you'll be the one getting dropped. Look how cute that dragon is, though.
Yeah, it's
like adorable. For real. Adorable dragons. It looks like a really fun game. Throw it on there. It's in early access. You can buy it now if you want to play. I don't know if it's online. I have no idea.
Steal of the week, $5.
$5. As Uncle Joe, my late great Uncle Joe would say, it was $5. You can't go wrong. It was $5. Everything he bought was $5 in the flea market. Everything. And it didn't matter what it was. You couldn't,
I bought this Honda Civic, $5.
Couldn't go wrong because it was $5. It didn't matter what it was. He could have been giving you a bag of weeds.
The 30 half a rat.
It didn't matter because it was $5. All right, let's get into the indie news report. We have three quick stories for you. The first one is we are getting a Spiritfall demo ahead of its early access launch. So that is going to be dope. So in early access is coming in March, but through Steam Next Fest, there will be a Spiritfall demo. I don't know if it's out yet. I'll be completely honest with you. This story was from the 26th. So I did not do my diligence there. I do apologize, but one of you guys could probably find that out.
The demo is out.
Demo's out. There you go. Which is huge because this was a game in our showcase.
Yeah.
And on our, like, really blew us away. But it was in another indie game showcase that we put on last year. God, that was last year. Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
This year's a month gone already.
I know. It's fucking crazy.
A 12th of this year is gone.
I don't want to think about that.
Don't say that. Why put it like that? Why do you say it like that?
Isn't that amazing?
It is closer to PAX. It's closer to PAX.
It is. But Spiritfall looks dope, and I am definitely going to be playing this and speaking about it next week for sure.
Yeah.
This next bit of news may have some personal ties to the Dual Screens family. Mm-hmm. Andy, tell us about this one while you stare into the void.
I am. So, so Insider Gaming is, they're fairly large publication, and
they are known specifically for leaking a lot of shit,
hence Insider Gaming.
Yeah.
And they announced this week the Indie Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be it's a weekly series devoted to indie game and developers, interviews, reviews, previews, all the things that make indies what they are, a lot like what we do at Dual Screens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, given the similarity of our passions, I emailed them. And I was like, hey, we should like do things together. And they were like, sure. What do you want to do? And I said, that is a great follow-up question, sir. I will get back to you with an answer shortly.
So that is something we will be working on for... Right. In the next coming months, perhaps. Cool. That'll be something that we dive into after PAX.
Right. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's nice seeing a bigger publication taking a chance on indies. Because, you know, indies, for as awesome as they are, they don't, you know, people care about the big stuff more often than not. That's where, like, the money is, where the clicks are.
Mm.
So, yeah. It's nice
we've kind of talked about that before because it's weird. We've gotten to this point where, like, there are now echelons of indie games, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, that's what we're here for, right? We're here to dig through the trenches.
I just hope that with this little series that it's not just focused on the popular indies. Because mm-hmm. we've covered our share of big names in the indie scene, but we cover a lot of ones that are just one person teams, you know, on a shoestring budget. Here's a game that I became broke making. please enjoy. So I hope it's a lot more of that and not just let's talk about, you know, the next Shovel Knight or the next hyperlight drifter, so to speak. Like, let's look for devs in indie games that are really that need attention and need the spotlight. Not just you know,
that's kind of the double-edged sword of what we do. It's the catch 22 because they're not necessarily like in a lot of video game coverage. It's the game that brings the eyes to the product. So if you're a podcast, if you're talking about the most popular games, you're going to pop up in search engines. You're going to pop up in podcast feeds. You're going to pop up in YouTube shorts and like all that stuff, just because you use the name of a game and it's something that's in the zeitgeist. Whereas we are trying to create a platform for the games that aren't in those search engines that should be. So it's a catch 22 where you may not get 10,000, you know, views on a, podcast about, I don't know, anything, drag and drop. Like if we get drag and drop on, you know, like 10,000 people might aren't going to be looking for drag and drop.
Right. Right.
But you know, if we could elevate that to, people who are looking for new fun games to play, that helps us, and that's something that we're passionate about.
And you know what? I'd rather have us debate how to pronounce a game about a cat turtle for an hour.
Why didn't they just call it cat turtle? They could have just called it cat turtle.
Too easy, Steve. It's too easy.
I'd prefer that than covering like a big triple.
Could have called it tortussy.
Any day of the week. That just sounded very vile and wrong. And
tortussy?
It's like a tortilla that I definitely want.
Stop saying it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but whatever. Okay. IGN Nordic had a story about about Sports Story.
This is a pretty wacky one.
It's a Sports Story story.
I am in love with this headline, is all I want to say.
Okay,
so the headline. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Sports Story is struggling to remove its secret dev room. Okay, I'm going to read this. Because it's so fascinating to me. A new patch for Sidebar Game Sports Story has altered dialogue from a secret room that contained complaints about development, and the developers say they're working to remove the room from the game entirely. Interesting. This secret room was never intended to be seen by players and was uncovered shortly after launch. This new patch was supposed to remove access to the room altogether, but some players still managed to find a way in. Sidebar Games even addressed the room in the latest patch notes, writing, quote, blocked access to the secret dev room. Sidebar Games is aware that some players still found their way into the room and is struggling to remove the secret room from Sports Story. Quote, unfortunately, we are unable to comment on the origins of the secret dev room, end quote. Quote, efforts are being made to remove it from the game, but it has proved difficult due to the way the game is programmed. The original conversation in the secret room talked about the troubles during development with lines like, you might say we're experiencing a troubled development, and quote, you might say somebody kept requesting new features and my original vision no longer exists.
I love this article so much. This is my this might be my contender for like
Steven
indie headline slash article of the year. It's so fucking good.
You have to read what the lines have been since changed to in the secret dev room.
Oh yeah. But now, as reported by Eurogamer, the room now contains different dialogue, which I think is worse than the dialogue that was in there. Like, this is more of a backslap to the people in charge. Quote, now they're changing their tune. Literally, quote, not only are we ahead of schedule on development, we're also setting records in employee happiness. Our staff are all well rested, well fed, and their self-esteem is skyrocketing. I assure you. I assure you. Things are very much under control here. I promise.
This is ridiculous.
This okay, I have a theory.
Oh, Jesus.
They
Christ.
All knew this was in there. This was not a secret to anybody. They forgot to take it out. And now, instead of being like, well, we whatever, let's just make it the opposite. I think that they all wanted to kill themselves, make it unalive. Sorry.
Oh, this reads like, so sassy. I love it.
It's so good.
It just, well, because do you remember, like, leading up to it? I mean, coming off Golf Story, everybody was like, holy shit, sports story. But leading up to it, there was, like, zero marketing. And then it just kind of plopped into existence. It was like, oh, it's released
and
now.
And no one cared about it.
And nobody cared about it.
Yeah.
Our friend Peter played it and said it was pretty disappointing and buggy. Yeah. And now it seems like we know why. Because they needed...
It wasn't ready.
Their complaints in the legitimate complaint box didn't get through, so they built a digital one in the game that they're struggling to remove, which is ridiculous to me.
Well, it was supposed to come out.
I just love my favorite in 2020. That last part is hilarious, but the unfortunately we are unable to comment on the origins of the secret dev room. It's fucking so like cultic to me. It's so weird.
Oh
god, I'm sorry.
It was supposed to come out in 2020. It didn't come out until December 2022, and it came out very buggy. So they've been working hard on that, putting out patches all over the place. But that is a great place to segue into our Kickstarter.
Oh my god, hold on, guys. One of the dialogue says, "I'm not seeing any problems whatsoever. The team has done an incredible job with this." God.
Oh, this Kickstarter looks so good. Oh,
Kickstarter of the week. This one actually, I think I put this one up not that long ago before it went live, because this all looks very familiar to me. But this is Mika and the Witch's Mountain.
I love this.
Yeah, this looks dope. Oh, that's loud. Very Studio Ghibli. Is that right? Is that how you say that? Ghibli. This has a very simple premise. First of all, it's gorgeous. Absolutely stunning. Yeah. It's got Breath of the Wild. The other one, Link, Wind Waker vibes in its art direction to me. And its cutscenes are all like hand-drawn anime style. Beautiful. This has smashed its goal. It's got over $100,000 now. They were looking for 44,000. It's got 29 days to go. This thing is freshly launched. But it's a simple premise. You're a witch and you deliver packages.
I love it.
Dude, and it has like a Hat in Time vibes.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm loving to pieces right now.
But it's got, zaniness ensues. There's puzzles to solve. You use your magic as a witch and all that fun stuff. And you're just trying to deliver packages to the people of the towns.
The broom flight looks very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like dope ass game.
Yeah.
I need it in my veins. I did back it. Don't tell my wife. She's gonna be mad.
I'm gonna play this and my wife is gonna make fun of me about it.
Maybe you could play it together. Could go on a journey. Play.
Yeah, you wanna go on a journey together, Steven?
No, you and your wife.
Oh,
I'm trying to save your marriage, Matthew.
Why don't you want to go on a journey with me?
I go on a journey with you every week here on Indies Nuts Podcast. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Indies Nuts Podcast. Andy, you had something to say real quick before I...
Yeah, I was going to say, let you both know and the listeners know that there's a demo for this game out in like 4 days.
4 days, that's right.
At the 6th.
Indeed.
Check it out.
This has been quite the adventure. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. Thank you, chat, for joining me. This has been an absolute blast. I had fun. I hope you guys had fun. Lots of stuff to throw on your wish list. We're sorry for your wallets, but we're not sorry that you spent this last hour or so with us. Gentlemen, do you have anything you want to add before we go?
I'm going to buy all these games that are available to buy. I just brought Neko Necro, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might do the same.
I had to.
Don't you share a library? Oh, no, for your Steam Deck.
We haven't figured it out yet.
Sometimes it's there. And sometimes it's not.
Interesting.
I've never seen your library in my library.
So I've seen your library in my Steam Deck once, and I was like, oh shit.
How does it work?
Everything.
Yeah.
It just manifested one day. I was like, you have 1,000 games. I was like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah.
The Steam Deck is a revelation and is my favorite handheld gaming anything of all time. Please, Steam.
It's right up there with the Sega Nomad for me.
The Sega Nomad, huh?
The Sega Nomad changed full... my life.
Did you actually have one?
Oh, my cousin did, and I borrowed it for so long.
You owned it, you mean?
I basically owned it for like summers at a time, but I loved the Nomad. Just being able to sit there and play Genesis in my bed.
Yeah, but didn't it fucking destroy batteries? Because I
just had it plugged in the wall, and I was just like sitting there like this and just dropping it on my face because it weighed like 27 pounds. It was like holding an actual brick. And just like, boom, oh, fuck. And you just have to roll over, your arms go numb.
I just remember I had like a Game Boy and a Game Gear with me on all family vacations, and my Game Boy would last like pretty much
62 years.
Yeah, like the whole vacation. The whole trip, and then my Sega, like I'd be playing my Sega in the car ride there, and like a half hour after we left or something, it'd just be like, I know you like Green Dog the Beach Surfer, dude, but like, I'm tired, man.
Didn't you have the car charger, Matt, to drain your car's battery on the way on the family trip?
Man, I did not.
I'm playing Joe Madden's football, Dad.
I played a lot of baseball, a lot of Earthworm Jim.
Yeah.
I played Comic Zone. Comic Zone was big. Altered Beast.
So bad.
I loved that because I could just take my and it had an AV out, so it was basically a Genesis. You could just fucking sit it there, plug it into your TV. Yeah, it had like the little. Well, it was I think it was the S video one, but you could just get an S video to an AV or whatever the hell, the yellow white,
RCA.
And just shove that in there. And I remember we took it on a vacation once, and we just plugged it into the big ass TV. We also brought our Super Nintendo. That was just dope. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening and watching. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everybody. And as always, please play some indies.